Welcome to the Irish Tech News Podcast, where we will bring you some of the most interesting interviews and features from the world of tech. Visit irishtechnews.ie and check out our podcast section to explore all of our previous episodes. You can subscribe to our podcast using whatever your favorite app or service is by visiting anchor.fm/irish-tech-news. And now, a word from our sponsor, AgoraPulse. We know how hard it is to juggle all the things in your business. Accounts, meetings, the never-ending inbox. That's why we've teamed up with AgoraPulse to give you more than 5 hours back a week when it comes to managing your social media marketing. No complicated Excel docs, long emails, or millions of open tabs. Simply manage all your social media channels in one place. Go to www.agorapulse.com/irishtechnews. To get 1 month free. Now all you have to do is figure out how you want to spend those spare 5 hours.
Hi everybody, welcome to the Irish Tech News Podcast today. This is your host, Jamil Hassan, where we cover all things crypto and blockchain. I'm delighted and excited to introduce my guest today, an investor and author in the space economy, Mr. Samson Williams. Welcome, Samson.
So good morning, beautiful people, or afternoon or evening or whatever time of the day it is when you listen to this.
Thank you. Could you please let us know, our audience know, your background and what you're doing now?
I'm often confused. And so what I'm doing now is trying to figure out what I'm doing. And so that's the beautiful thing about getting lost. If you get lost, you can find yourself. And while you're getting lost, you can discover all kinds of amazing things. So in the blockchain and cryptocurrency space, I'm currently getting lost in space with blockchain and the space economy. But also, as you get lost, you're defining the map, that roadmap, so other people can follow. Hence why we write the books and the articles. And of course, talk to Jamil and other folks about, you don't need to get lost. You can just sort of follow in our meandering footsteps and see if we became successful or not.
Great. You and I both wrote a book in 2020, and right now, you know, your work in the space economy has been very impressive, at least from what I've read on LinkedIn. And I haven't read the book yet, but I'm going to. Now you take a look at, you know, some of our ventures into the ever expanding, you know, universe, its budding potential space economy and blockchain's role in that expansion. What first drew your interest in the space economy, and then inspired you to write the book? And then what role do you think that climate change here on Earth can impact space out there?
Oh, I love it. Climate change is actually one of my favorite unfortunate subjects. And so when we talk about blockchain, we always like to give that analogy of blockchain as like a group text message. And so we're all in a group text message. I send Jamil $20. Jamil sends number 555 $10. As you scroll up and down in this group text message, it's distributed, it's on the ledger, it's encrypted. And so that's just blockchain 101. And so when you go up to space, you're like, oh, we want to have a blockchain in space to encrypt networks. You just replace nodes with satellites. And all of a sudden, you have a global network of blockchain. And it's like, oh, that actually makes a lot of sense. Now the question is, what do you want to do on your encrypted network of satellites? Because if you're not trying to like create new currencies or take over banks or get rid of governments, blockchain is a really good way of encrypting records. It works so well at encrypting records. You can show those records publicly. And that's what the Bitcoin blockchain does. And so when you're talking about blockchain in the space economy, you're really looking at blockchain as plumbing. And so for the space economy, satellites, information, data, and data is the real gold or the real value of anywhere really, not just in space, but also on Earth. How do you keep that data secure? You want to encrypt it, you're going to use blockchain as your plumbing. So in space, everything, it runs on a blockchain infrastructure. Unfortunately, some people, they don't like hearing that they're going to be the Super Mario Brothers of plumbing in space, but I'm like, yes, if you're a blockchain programmer or a dev, you're actually technically a plumber of space. And so as we look at what happens next, for the space economy, this is where, going back to global warming, Jamil, I have to pause. Do you believe the world is flat or round? Go.
I believe it's round.
Oh man, Jamil, this is great. Then you're gonna agree with what I say. If you don't know the world is round or a globe, not perfectly round, it's, you know, but if you don't know that the world is round, this is all a lie. Humans have never been to the moon. The internet doesn't exist. We all live in a matrix. But for those who understand that, yes, the Earth is round, like all the other planets in our solar system, when we look at global warming causes climate change. Climate change is why here in America, at least, we have a hurricane season, which runs roughly from May till November here on the East Coast. But in the West Coast, we have what I call fire season. And for those who don't understand fire season, every summer between approximately May and September, California, Oregon, and Washington State are on fire. That's fire season. And so we see this because of the effects of global warming, which causes climate change. Last year, Louisiana, a state here in America, most notably New Orleans is a city there, Louisiana had six hurricanes impacted just last year. And so you're not supposed to have six hurricanes impact a region ever. Houston, Texas, Houston, Texas has had three 500-year storms in the last 5 years. And a 500-year storm means you're supposed to get this intensity of storm once every 500 years. In the last five, Houston has had three. And so we can see the effects of global warming that cause climate change. I want to say I was in Derry, Ireland. Shout out to John Henderson over in Derry. I was in Derry, Ireland in 2017 and 2018, and it was like 30°C, which was ridiculously hot. It was very hot during the whole summer. I didn't understand that. But again, that's a result of climate change. And so where blockchain comes in the space economy and for climate change is, where do you think all the data, the majority of the data that helps us track, analyze, and understand global warming and climate change comes from? It comes from space. It comes from satellites. Mm-hmm. And so this is where often people are like, Samson, why are you and Jamil getting lost in space? I'm like, no. We're solving for space so we can solve for Earth. We're investing in the research, the technology to set up satellites, to understand a space, to explore space, so that we can then turn around and look back at Earth. And so the Apollo missions, they had a big, Jamil, tell me to stop if I'm mumbling too much, because I love space, man.
No, I'm good.
Okay, so.
My wife was making noise in the kitchen.
That's all good. I hope she's cooking something delicious. So when America went to the moon in the 1960s, we landed on the moon and we took a photo back of Earth. And this was the first time we'd been far away enough from Earth to actually see that beautiful brown blue marble just hanging in the void of nothing. And so this is where the space economy, it gives us the opportunity to have perspective. There is no planet B. I tell people, when it comes to global warming and climate change, there's no plan B. There's no planet B. The Earth is all we've got. And so as we're looking at solving for space, it's really so we can gain a perspective and look back at Earth and say, how do we solve for space and take those innovations and technologies down to Earth to help us address our most pressing issues? And today, for the next hundreds of years, our decades, it is climate change. And so this is where blockchain and the space economy, it comes together beautifully to help us help humanity, not just Samson and George, but help humanity address one of our biggest challenges, which is climate change.
That's a very good start. You know, the universe desperately thirsts for, you know, not just an improvement in climate change, but for more shining stars and not just, you know, empty matter. You have a space economy show, actually, too. In addition to your book, you have a space economy show that focuses on raising awareness of the space economy's role in Earth's well-being. And what role does, and I want to take a little scientific approach here because I read some of this stuff and, you know, into it, and I don't really fully understand it, but it's called biochemistry. So what role does biochemistry have in microgravity, which is space? And can we speed up the development of research and development in the space economy so that we can accidentally discover things like how to live forever?
Well, yeah, that's a really great question, because we all have about a 2.5-pound supercomputer on our shoulders. It's called the brain. We use, I don't know, the smartest of us use about 8% of it. If you're super genius, you're in the 9-10%. You're average like me. You went to public school in Texas. You lose maybe about 5%. You live in Florida. You've got too many margaritas in you to use any substantial amount of it. And so the amazing thing about our brain is we don't know how to repair it, build it, maintain it, or fix it. But it comes with no user manual or instructions. And so we can poke and prod around it, but we actually don't know how it works. And so we're learning how it works. And so when we go into space, the beauty about space is that thirst for knowledge, that thirst for intelligence. It's how does this work? And so this is where really amazing things happen in microgravity. So if you imagine having a sponge, you know, like the thing you wash dishes with. So if you push that sponge down, it compresses. If you let it go, it expands. Human cells are very similar. Humans evolved in gravity, 1G, what is what we call gravity here in the gravity well of Earth. And so amazing things happen when you take a human body and cells and research into space. We're no longer compressed by gravity. It means cells behave differently. And this is where microgravity is thought to hold the secret of immortality. Because there's this gentleman named Neil deGrasse Tyson. This is his, so I can't say I came up with this, but he explains it brilliantly how there's a person alive today who will never die, meaning they were born in the 2020s during the pandemic. By the time they're 50, we will have advances in technologies that extend the human lifespan 50 years. So, and by extending your human lifespan 50 years, it means you won't live to be 70 or 80. It means you'll live to be about 120 or 130. Which is crazy because you're like, oh, now I'm 120, 130. But then in that 50 years, in that extra 50 years, we'll have new technologies. When I say new technologies is we're going to refine some of the existing technologies like CRISPR, gene editing, artificial organs. We can 3D print corneas, heart valves, et cetera. So we've already got that base layer of technology and we just have to spend the next 30 years refining it. How do we make gene editing more proficient to help reduce diabetes, heart disease, all the chronic diseases that affect us? Really, how do we change our diets too? And so we have that base layer of technology that enables us to improve our health already. We also have the environmental considerations, you know, clean water, clean air, particularly as we address global warming, how do we continue to improve our air quality, continue to improve our water quality? So we have that base layer of technology down. So that someone born today, yeah, we're gonna have technologies that extend their life by 50 years. So not living to 80, they're living to 120, 130 years old. But by the time they're 120, we'll have discovered, because they have 50 more years, we'll have discovered even more technology that helps expand their life by another 100 or 500 years. And this is how someone will incrementally be able to live forever. Of course, the holy grail of immortality is, do you leave your corporeal body behind and upload your consciousness into a matrix or a machine? That's a little bit too far-fetched even for me at this moment, only because we just don't know enough about the synapses in our brains, how our brains work. But I can see where as we go the route of doing research in microgravity on the human genome, this is how we turn that aging button off. This is how we stop these silent mutations that cause cancer, et cetera. And so everyone gets very excited about the technology of the space economy, rockets, satellites, lasers, nuclear powered engines. But I'm like, hey guys and ladies and gentlemen, and everyone else, there's real power of the space economy, the revolutions we're going to make in understanding human biology and genes as we go to adapt our bodies to live in microgravity.
Wow, that's fascinating to me. In college, I failed two classes. One was introduction to finance, and I ended up getting a master's degree in finance. And the other was biology. So that's an area that I always have to learn how to more stuff about. You know,
yeah, there's so many epidemiologists who later go on to work in finance only because it requires the same skill set. You know, if you're looking for a patient zero during an outbreak, whether it's Ebola or COVID-19, it requires the same analytics as looking at stocks, looking for what the hotspot is in stocks. And so we see, and it's really unfortunate that we have such a brain drain from health in medical and the finance, because it's like, guys, how many more financial instruments do we need? We need to figure out how to live 100 more years.
Right. And you mentioned COVID. You know, as we head into a post-COVID world, how can we become actively engaged in the process of learning more about, you know, the complexities and opportunities, not just in space, but investing in sustainable, renewable, and recyclable technologies and products that will, you know, as you say it, make life amongst the stars possible?
Well, this is where I really love the space economy and just the whole concept of space and space exploration. Number one, we should strive not to colonize space. In 1492, King James II invaded Ireland. And so when Ireland was colonized, if you set off the notion that we're going to colonize space, someone will have to kill the masters. So we don't want to take all of the isms, the racism, the secularism, the sexism into space. So we have to think about permanent human settlement of space, not colonization. It's a nuance in words, but it's also a nuance in approach to, hey, we're going to go up into the heavens. And so we have to think that first and foremost. The beautiful thing about the space economy and space in general, the International Space Station, it turned 20 years old, I want to say November 2nd of 2020. November, the first week of November, it turned 20 years old. And what that means is the International Space Station, the ISS, we've had a floating hotel, I'm going to just call it a hotel. We've had a floating hotel in space for the last 20 years, which means people, humanity, has had a human in space, in the vacuum of space, for the last 20 years. That is a technology feat here on two unrivaled. Because the amazing thing happens is we've demonstrated, hey, we can build a hotel in space that has occupancy for 20 years straight and not have anyone die. Do you know how much easier it gets when you put that same space hotel, the International Space Station, on the moon, on solid ground? Now all of a sudden it's like, oh, we can live on the lunar surface, because you got to figure out how to live on the lunar surface before we head off to Mars and then beyond. And so why I bring this up in the sense of your question about sustainability, did you know, Jamil, there's no garbage dumps in space?
I didn't know that.
You recycle everything in space. Your urine gets recycled into water. Your poop gets recycled into organic matter. In space, you don't throw away anything, because you can't. It costs too much to take up. It costs about $5,000 to take up a kilo weight of anything, whatever it happens to be. So when you take these rare resources up into space, be they paper or plastic or cardboard or whatever, you recycle it all. And so that's the beautiful thing about when you solve for space, you solve for Earth. And so when you solve for space, you're solving for recycling. How do you put 5-10 people in a space station and generate zero waste? Because in the space station, our space hotel, you can't have waste, because you have to recycle it all. And so this is where we're looking at different packaging, different way of manufacturing products, because when we get to space, the first thing we have to solve is waste. We can't waste anything, because it's not like you can run down Walmart or Home Depot or Amazon. When you're in space, you need to recycle everything. One of the biggest advantages of the space economy and figuring out how to build habitats on the moon, zero waste. Let me tell you, right now here in America, we have such a problem with not recycling. We have so many plastics. We have the Pacific garbage patch, which is just an ocean of plastics that are breaking down and contaminating the ocean waters with these microplastics, which cause hormonal issues within children. It said that there's research out how men and women are less fertile now because of the different chemical components that we've been exposed to since the nuclear age kicked off, particularly regarding plastic. Because you mentioned organic chemistry, humans are just an organic chemistry set that's mainly made of water. But we've been introducing all of these passive chemicals into our food, into our water, into our air, and now they're really impacting our fertility rates. In one instance, it's like the Earth was like, oh, COVID-19 didn't work out. Let me try a slower approach to reduce the human population, because we have too many people. We haven't learned to live in harmony with our natural environment. So I'm super excited about when we get, as we explore space, how do we do it in a way where we reduce, reuse, and recycle everything?
Fascinating. The a common cliche, and I'm looking, what you'd said is the common cliche is, I think that comes to my head right away is the future is bright. You're taking a quite a, you know, a little bit of different look at what you do with the space economy. Is the future is actually bright.us. Please tell us what bright.us is all about, and then as a crowdfunding platform in particular, and then how your technology helps startups raise capital, whether they wish to be in the space economy or not.
Mm-hmm. So part of solving for space when you solve for Earth, by the way, this is a slogan from Dr. Cian Proctor. She's an analog astronaut. She's brilliant. And so if you hear me say when you solve for space, you solve for Earth, I actually stole that from Dr. Cian Proctor. I just want to be clear about that. So one of the biggest challenges for space is financing. Cash requires a lot of money to go to space. It's super risky to go to space because sometimes your rockets and investment literally blows up upon launch. And so in order to help stimulate interest and stimulate investing into space, the Space Economy Show, the Space Economy, your destination for the business of space, where we talk about the business space. It's not just SpaceX and Elon Musk and Blue Origin and Virgin Galactic. It's those 1,500 other small businesses that are developing space technology. That's the most important part. And so in order to help them look for funding and find investors, Milky Way Economy, me and my partner and I, George Pullen, we invested into two platforms. One is called Going Public, goingpublic.com. They help businesses raise up to $75 million using a process called Reg A Plus investment crowdfunding. So if you're in Europe, in the EU, you have the Financial Conduct Authority, you have the BaFin. Investment crowdfunding, peer-to-peer lending is very established in that market. Here in America, investment crowdfunding, equity crowdfunding in particular, it turns 5 on May 16th, 2021. So it's not quite old enough to go to kindergarten yet, the investment crowdfunding industry here in America. And so the reason I laid that down is startups, whether you're going to space or you're here on Earth, what are your options for getting funding? You can go to a bank, and the bank's going to say, hey, Jamil, if you have $1 million, we will lend you $1 million at 8 to 12%. And you're like, well, I'm a startup. I only need $250,000 to start. And so after haggling back and forth with your bank will say, hey, we'll accept your house as collateral. That's really not the move you want to make because 95% of startups fail. And so you can't get money from a bank, whether you're a startup or an existing business. Why would you go get money from someone who's called a shark? I have no idea why you would do that. Jamil is shaking his head there. He's like, I have no idea why you would go and engage a shark. And so if you go after venture capital and you're an early stage startup, you're a shark. You're going to go talk to a shark about funding your business. You're on the menu. They're going to be like, how much of your business can I take from you and make you an employee? Because that's the crazy thing about venture capital. You've already seen this. If you're there in the EU or Ireland, you've seen Dragon's Den. Why are you asking, and here in America, it's called Shark Tank, and the EU is called Dragon's Den. Why are you asking dragons and sharks for investment capital? You're an early stage startup. You're on the menu. They're going to eat you alive. The other folks you could ask are angels. And it's like, oh man, I tell people, Jamil, the best trick the devil ever played was going into investing, early stage investing. Because the angels, they want the same 100,000, 10,000x return as the sharks. So I don't know why they're so angelic. Your fourth option, the one that's actually relevant to you, is investment crowdfunding. Because through investment crowdfunding, you can take your existing customers, your potential customers, and actually engage them to raise money for your business. And so over at Going Public, it's going to be great for companies that are looking to raise up to $75 million from the crowd. And then over at bright.us, we're focused on those startups who are looking to raise up to $5 million via what's called Reg CF. Reg CF is regulation crowdfunding. And so the beauty about regulation crowdfunding, and it's regulated by an agency called the Securities and Exchange Commission and the Financial Regulatory Authority, the SEC and FINRA. They're very similar to the FCA and BaFin over here. I'm referencing the FCA and BaFin because I have I used to have clients in both Ireland and Germany. And so underneath Reg CF, startups, existing businesses can go through a process of engaging their customers and potential customers to raise money for their startup, for their business, whatever that business happens to be. And so if you're in the space industry and the space vertical, you need fans. You need people who are investing in the dream. You need people who understand the risk, and you need people who are patient. Because space capital is super patient capital, because it takes 10 to 20 years for your product to actually come to fruition. And I tell everyone, the hardest part of anyone's overnight success is the first 10 years. We all see like, oh, Elon Musk is worth X billions of dollars, not realizing he started his journey in the 1990s. So yeah, if we fast forward 30 years, he looks like he's an overnight success. There in Ireland, the kids from Derry who founded Stripe, right? So Stripe just hit some ridiculous valuation, some billion-dollar valuation, but they're also on their 10-year overnight success path. And so that's the thing about startups and startup investing. If you want to get rich quick, you can go out of business quick. So if you want to do the smart thing for investing, it's going to take about 10 years to see your investment come out. So the last thing I'm going to tell you about what we're doing over at Brite.us, B-R-I-T-E.us, is where our whole principle is anchored around the simple statement, customers have more money than VCs. So Jamil's like, he's thinking about this. He's like, yes, customers do have more money than VCs. In theory and in practice, customers even have more money than banks. So the bank's not going to give you a loan. Why would you want to talk to some sharks or dragons? Angels are really devils in disguise. Engage your customers, because your customers have more money than venture capital. And so when you engage your customers as a business, as a startup, you're saying, hey, I want you to have skin in the game. I want you to be part of my business, because your customers actually make your business grow. When VCs give you, when VCs invest $1 million, $10 million in your business, they want $100 billion back. The VCs want $100 million, $10 billion back. When your customers invest in your business, they're already your customers. They love your good product and service so much that they use it. And so this is where we have a real conversation about what's the lifetime value of a customer, who we call an investor, because when you take a customer and turn them into an investor, they become an investor. What's the lifetime value of a customer, of an investor versus a VC? Because VCs, hey, they invest $1 million in you, but they don't buy your good product or service. And so we're always happy to explain to people that customers have more money than VCs. And by using regulation crowdfunding, you can engage your customers to fund your business.
That makes great sense to me. Actually, when I first saw that word, I thought I saw it on LinkedIn, or I saw it from an email from you. I thought it was Investormer. So what came to my mind with the space economy was Darth Vader and the stormtroopers. So that what you said makes a lot of sense. You know, appreciate it.
The evil empire has a really interesting business model, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, thank you very much. Last thing I want to ask you is, for our audience who wants to find out more about you and how to reach you and how to contact you and know about your business, what is the best way that they can contact you and reach you?
You can find me on LinkedIn, Samson Williams. You can Google me, Samson Williams. You'll see a bunch of our videos out there and articles. I have a couple of articles actually for the Irish Tech News. So you can Google those as well. If you put in Samson Williams, Irish Tech News, you can see some of the articles I wrote about cryptocurrencies and blockchain. And so, yeah, you can also find me on social at Hustle Fund Baby. I'm not a trust fund baby. I'm a Hustle Fund Baby. And so you can find me on social that way.
I got to be a Hustle Fund Baby too. So
that's definitely the way to be, because the trust fund babies, and I'm going to go on a little bit of a tirade, so I apologize. So I have this conversation where money doesn't have hustle, and money needs hustle. Old money is super lazy. Oh, man. This past year, I needed $2 million to close out a purchase order. So I called this guy. I'm not going to curse at him at this moment, but he knows who he is. And so I called him. I'm like, hey, I need $2 million. And we go back and forth. And so I have this purchase order. And so he's like, okay. So he wires me $2 million bucks on a handshake. And so he wants me to sign his contract. And I'm like, dude, you just sent me this money. I don't need to sign that contract. So we're going back and forth. He's calling me everything in the book. But we're having a, not a class beef or a class, a clash of class, but we're having a paradigm shift in the sense of money. People who have money, they don't have hustle. And if you're an entrepreneur, you're a small business, you have a lot of hustle. You're always out there hustling. And so I tell money all the time, I don't actually need your money because I have hustle. I will go find money. I will go make money. I'm an entrepreneur. And I do tell people I only recommend entrepreneurship to my enemies because it's hard. Don't get me wrong. And so this is where, particularly if you're starting a business or thinking about starting a business or you started a business, you have hustle. You have great hustle. And money is always looking for hustle. You just got to be sure they don't exploit you. Because if they say, hey, I want to give you a million, 2 million, 5 million, 10 million, 100 million, they expect a 10x, 100x return. And this is where you have to appreciate and value your hustle. Not all money is good money. Sometimes you got to let money go. And so I apologize for this rant, but this is where if you're a hustle fund baby, it's completely different than being a trust fund baby. Because the trust fund babies, they didn't have to hustle for their money. They didn't have to be clever and smart and witty and take risks. And so if you find yourself where you're, where someone is trying to quote unquote invest in you or give you what they consider good money, that's old money. And old money doesn't have your hustle. They're trying to exploit your hustle. Negotiate with them. Negotiate with them like you would fight a dragon, like you would fight a shark. Negotiate with them. And ultimately you're going to be like, you know what? Screw this. I'm going to go crowdfund. I'm out.
Thank you very much. Have a great day. Thanks. See you soon.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Agora Pulse. We know how hard it is to juggle all the things in your business. Accounts, meetings, the never-ending inbox. That's why we've teamed up with Agora Pulse to give you more than 5 hours back a week when it comes to managing your social media marketing. No complicated Excel docs, long emails, or millions of open tabs. Simply manage all your social media channels in one place. Go to www.agorapulse.com/IrishTechNews. To get 1 month free. Now all you have to do is figure out how you want to spend those spare 5 hours. Thank you for listening to the latest Irish Tech News podcast. Check back every day for the latest episode. You can follow us on Twitter @Irish_TechNews, on Facebook, facebook.com/IrishTechNews, on LinkedIn, linkedin.com/company/Irish-Tech-News, on Instagram, instagram.com/IrishTechNews.ie, and on TikTok, tiktok.com/@IrishTechNews.